Mets. Todd's life has been championships, and Mike's have been regrets. Apples and pinstripes from spring train until fall. Apples and pinstripes, they're talking baseball. Apples and pinstripes from spring train until fall. Apples and pinstripes, they're talking baseball.
Episode 8 of Apples and Pinstripes. Hello. I'm Todd Emanuele. That's Mike Borkowski. We are here. It is episode 8, as I just said. And it is Thursday afternoon. We're recording this. And we have a special guest today. But before we get to the special guest, there's some things happening in baseball today. First of all, hello, Mike. How are you?
Hello. Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. We always talk about what hat we're wearing. So let's start with that before we get to anything. I'm just wearing my 5950 low profile Yankees postseason hat from 2017. That was a key year again for what we're going to talking about here.
What happened that year? Did something big happen in 2017 playoffs?
Yeah, something bigger should have happened for Yankees fans. We'll get to that. What do you got on today?
I'm wearing the Syracuse Mets 5950. Not low profile, unfortunately, but just their on-field home cap.
It looks a little high. Yeah, but it looks like a. It looks you've made it look like a 39-30. You diva. You.
I bend the brim.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Nice and curved. So yeah, this is just their on-field home cap.
Right, and I love the Syracuse Mets hat. I have one. You know what's funny? I almost wore mine today, but I thought, nah, I'm glad I didn't now because we'd have matching hats. I'm supposed to have something Yankees on anyway. All right, so the big news I haven't heard all the stuff yet, but the Astros finally talked today about this whole cheating scandal. And I'm a little perturbed. I've already been upset. I'm sure you've seen my tweets lately where I've been calling out the Astros saying that they need to be punished more. They need to be suspended. It's never going to happen. But this is ridiculous now. The owner talking today said, I heard parts of it. I haven't heard the whole thing. I'm going to have to go back and listen. But the words came out of his mouth where he said, I don't feel that this sign-stealing thing impacted games. How can he sit there and say that it didn't impact games?
Did you hear what happened right after that?
I guess not. What happened after that?
A reporter asked him, you just said that this didn't impact games. And he said, oh, I didn't say that.
Oh.
You just said it on camera about 60 seconds ago.
Strip them of the World Series now. Suspend the players that were on the roster. Something else has to be done because Rob Manfred, it seems to me, now I've always liked Rob Manfred. He's from Rome, New York, where I live, and I've always supported him and stuff. It seems like he's just trying to sweep this under the rug and make it go away so people, you know, will just forget about it. He thinks people are just going to forget about it or something. This isn't going away. This is going to carry on through the entire season. I'm saying right now, you're going to have Astros games. There could be 5 brawls a week as they play different teams that guys are going to be thrown at. Josh Reddick today, being interviewed by the press, said, oh, I don't feel like I have to apologize for anything. Seriously? With all the stuff that's been put out there, how can he think to stand there at his locker or wherever he was and say that? These guys have no remorse for what they did. They won a World Series. They got all that extra money. They got a ring that's worth 20 grand or whatever. They cheated.
Well, they came out today and had their little 45-second soundbite. We're very remorseful. We're very sorry for what we did. We're just looking forward to the season ahead.
Right. The only thing I've heard so far, Jose Altuve spoke, and he sounded, well, He sounded like he's been preparing the statement for a while, but he actually apologized and said, you know, he knows what they did was wrong and blah, blah, blah. He still got away with it. I don't care what he said.
Well, apparently,
but he also said he knows that it impacted games. I thought that was funny that he used those words after Jim Crane said it didn't impact games, and yet his star player here says it impacted games.
Well, they had a team meeting last night, so you know they came up with whatever they were going to say as a team, like, okay, here's the standard answer of what you're going to give because you know you're going to be asked 1,000 times.
Right. And I'm sorry, they failed again with this whole thing. Just, I don't think really there probably isn't anything that they can say that would make people like me feel better other than, here, we want to give back our World Series rings because we don't deserve it. But they're doing all the wrong things, aren't they? I mean, it's not just me as a Yankee fan, right? They're doing all the wrong things here. Even their own, even the owner. It doesn't have an impact on the game. And then he's, oh, I didn't say that. Are you kidding me?
And then he basically also said, you know, we won the World Series in 2017 and that's that. Well, that's not really that.
Not even close to being that. And this is on the field, just baseball-wise, this is going to be a good season because there's a lot of good teams that could fight for playoff spots and all that. But just watching the Astros every day now is going to be like a reality TV show. What's going to happen today? Who's going to say what? Who's going to throw it? Who? Because you know the first time Mike Clevinger faces the Astros with the Indians this year, he's throwing at someone, maybe multiple guys. There's going to be fights. It's going to be insane. And Rob Manfred could have put a stop to all this if he just stepped up and either, it's hard to strip him of the World Series, but now looking at all this stuff, why not strip him of it? Suspend the players, make other teams not want to ever try something like this again. And what he's saying is, oh, you know what? It's okay. You know, we'll just talk about new playoff formats now to try to brush the Astros thing under the rug. It's not going to happen. It's only going to get uglier. And Rob Manfred might end up losing his job over this. I don't know who would fire him. Is there anyone higher than him that can do that? He may have to step down. I don't know. Who else? The owner of the Astros. What is he? I am. This like lit a fire under me today when I heard that. It was right before I was leaving work. I started hearing all this stuff. I'm like, well, there goes the beginning of the show because we have a nice guest sitting here waiting to come on. But this stuff is, it's crazy. And thank you for sitting here. Don't say anything yet, guest. We'll get to you in just a second here. I know we're taking your time, but you're being entertained during your time here with us before we get to you. Oh gosh, I apologize for being so on fire, but I shouldn't be apologetic for that because
Are you very remorseful?
No, I'm not. I don't think I'm wrong. These guys need to be punished and take those rings away. They don't deserve that. They don't deserve that. They didn't deserve the money they got. They're cocky about it. AJ Hinch was cocky about it last year during the playoffs. When asked about the sign stealing and stuff like that, he laughed and said, oh, if we knew this would bother the Yankees so much, we would have started this in spring training, you know, or worked on that in spring training, knowing full well that they've been cheating all year for a couple of years and getting away with it. And it's just wrong. And I'm not sorry. I'm not remorseful. I don't care what any Astros fan listening to this podcast think. They don't deserve that World Series anymore. Nothing is going to come of it as long as Rob Manfred is the commissioner of baseball right now, because he's just trying to sweep it under the rug. And I'm done with that. I'm done with him. I'm sorry. There's a Rome, New York tie there. I don't care right now. I'm not from Rome anyway. I just live here. Oh, you want to say anything else?
No, you took care of it.
Okay. All right. Why don't we take a break then? We'll come back and we'll get to what this show was supposed to be about, which we're going to talk about collecting baseball memorabilia, basically autographs and baseball cards and things like that. And we'll do that right after the break here on Apples and Pinstripes. Stay tuned. All right, back on Apples and Pinstripes, episode 8. And I've calmed down a little bit. I had a little fire lit under me today, and Mike is a Mets fan, so he doesn't care. Other than the
care, I care. Don't I care about baseball.
I know. I know. You don't care as much as I do about 2017.
I'm not as mad about it because it didn't affect my team.
Well, right, right. And if it did, you would be. So.
Oh, sure.
I know that for a fact. All right. So, again, calming down. Whew, I have to breathe. That really got me going today. I'm sorry. And any day now, the Red Sox punishment's supposed to come down too, by the way. I wonder if that'll even be anything big because, you know, Cora's gone. What else will they get? Because they didn't do anything supposedly.
Cora's going to get suspended for his Astros involvement.
Right, but I wonder what the Red Sox punishment will actually be because I think what they did, allegedly what they did, is what every other team does with the pitch sequences and trying to figure out and relay signs to whoever's on second base. I mean, every team does that, no doubt about it. So we'll see what happens with that whole thing. It should be coming down maybe today, maybe tomorrow, what they said by the end of this week. So, and they named Ron Renicki their interim manager, too. So, yay, Red Sox. What a great hire there. I don't know. Don't know about that. All right, moving on. Our special guest today, he's also the very first guest we've had on Apples and Pinstripes. You can put that on your resume. We have Kevin O with us today. Kevin, good to see you.
What's up, guys?
Thanks for joining us.
Of course.
So we're talking about collecting memorabilia, autographs, and baseball. You know, they kind of go hand in hand. It goes back to the beginning of time. You think Babe Ruth signed a billion autographs probably in his lifetime. And, you know, that's one of the most sought after, is that a phrase, sought after autographs that's out there. Kevin, you are, what would you call yourself? A collector?
An autograph collector specialist, you know what I mean? I could probably be an authenticator if I wanted to, but I don't know what that consists of, you know? I mean, it's...
So to be an official authenticator, what do you have to like take a class or something like that?
I have no idea. I like to do it, you know what I mean? But honestly, all it is for me is it's just an opinion. Authenticating an autograph to me is just an opinion. And I think I could do good at that with my experience. I don't know what you got to do. I mean, I don't know if class what, but.
So when did you start doing this, collecting autographs?
When I was 10 years old in 1983.
So you just gave away your age right there. I wasn't going to ask you your age, but.
Hey, I don't care.
1983. So if I do the math, you're 76. Wow, that's
you're just close.
Math is not my specialty. But anyway, so you were 10 years old and you started collecting autographs. So what made you want to do that?
Well, I started collecting baseball cards before that, and I just I was coming from church one day with my dad, and we drove by the stadium, and I seen the sign out, and a lot of people going in, and I immediately had him take me home, and he took me right to the game, and I just been going ever since, you know. And I collect autographs for like other sports too, and like celebrities, and they come to town, you know, stuff like that. So it's a real fun hobby. I enjoy it.
When you say you went by the stadium, you're in Syracuse. You're from Syracuse, and so you're talking MacArthur Stadium back then.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So, what do you do with the autographs? You just collect them all? Do you sell some of them, or how does that work?
Collect some, I sell some, I trade some, you know what I mean? I keep my favorites, you know, and I trade off whatever.
So what is, I know you have a million stories because you shared some with me over the years, but what is like your prized autograph that you've gotten over the years, baseball-wise, to start?
Well, I've gotten Jeter, you know what I mean? I like back when he was in the minor leagues, Derek Jeter was an animal. He couldn't sign enough for autographs.
He was good with fans.
Oh yeah, like it's the Yankee way. I mean, the Yankee players today are still the same way. You know what I mean? Not just saying that because I like them, but they are. It's first class organization. They're first class players. You know what I mean?
Are they all though? Because I remember
don't go there with Andujar. Don't go there with Andujar. But that's another can of worms.
He's a Yankee. And you had issues with him signing autographs, didn't you?
Oh, he had issues with signing autographs.
Oh, but that's an issue, though, if you're trying to get him. I just think it's funny that some guys don't sign. Some guys do sign. Some guys only sign for kids. What's your experiences like with most players? What do most players sign for anyone, or do they just go toward the kids? Because you're not a kid anymore. Is it easy for you?
It can be difficult. You know what I mean? Sometimes they do, like a guy like Tebow, you know, he picks and chooses. Sometimes the kids, and he particular about the items they sign, you know what I mean? But most of them, when they're in the minor leagues, they're generally pretty cool. If they start signing, they hit a line, they hit everybody. Like Judge used to come over after he got done stretching, and he did hit everybody in the line. No matter what they had, he'd sign it. You know, Jeter the same way. Jeter had like 10, 12 cards back in the days, and he'd sign every one of them.
Now, you go down and deal, speaking of the Yankee way, you've been dealing with the Mets now, with the Syracuse Mets in town. Is it the same thing now? This Mike, you're
is there a Met way?
Is there a Met way? Yeah. Did they like misspell their names? It's Metsing for autographs. Sorry. What are the Mets players like?
They were cool. I mean, we had a good group of guys last year for our first year. You know, the veterans, the guys like Rajay Davis and stuff like that. They were really, really cool with us. You know, and that was pretty cool. I thought that was cool. You know, I mean, I'm gonna be honest. The Mets really don't have any great hot prospects. I hate to say it like that, but you know, and.
Well, they got Tim Tebow.
Right, that's not a prospect, but anyways.
Last year they had a lot of veterans on Syracuse, so.
And I think that's what it's going to be this year. I hate to say it, but, you know, we'll get a couple prospects, but it's going to be mostly veterans again, you know, which is cool.
That had to be pretty neat to meet him. He had one of the biggest home runs in World Series history.
He was a really cool guy, too, you know.
Well, that's cool. So, you collect the baseball cards, you do the autographs. What do you have players sign? Like the baseball players?
My thing now, I get a lot of cards signed, but I do mostly photos. I like 8x10 photos. You know, if somebody really big comes, I'll get them on a ball. But balls are like, you know, they're kind of expensive, you know, official balls anyways, you know. So I get some of them done. If somebody real big, like, you know, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. last year, I got him on a jersey, you know what I mean? So I like that kind of stuff, you know.
So you spend the money. Yeah, you spend the money on a jersey, you get it signed. That's going to, I mean, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., a huge prospect. That's going to double the value of the jersey.
Right, without a doubt.
So that's pretty cool. What do you have, like you said, you deal with other celebrities. What do you do? What are your secrets? Because I see you're always out. You have pictures on Facebook with a billion different celebrities and stuff. It's how do you do this?
Well, I'm a huge wrestling fan too, or more so a wrestling dork, I call myself. But you know, when they come, if you know they're nowhere the night before, that you know day after, they fly in here and just go hang out at the airport. I mean, you're gonna wait all day, but you'll get all of them and more. That's because you're not gonna get wrestlers and stuff like that at the arena. Like when you go to a concert, you're not gonna get them at the arena. You got to find out, you know, where they're staying at a hotel or hit them at the airport or whatever, you know, or.
Here's a question. If you're getting them at the airport, have you ever had anyone like negatively react to you, like leave me alone type of thing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, someone, you know, if they say no, they say no. Like last time the wrestlers came back from Saudi Arabia, and I mean, they weren't too happy to, you know, a bunch of people wanting their autographs off a 14-hour flight. You know what I mean? So they said no. When you say no, you leave them alone. You know what I mean? That's it. But
well, you've been doing it enough, Bruce. I think that you know if. You can get a feel for the room. If they don't want to do it, you don't keep bugging, right?
Right. Yeah. You could tell by their expression too. You know, sometimes you don't even, if they look like they're not going to do it, you just don't even bother them.
Yeah.
Or the ones that you already approached before they wouldn't do it, you know, they're not going to do it again. So, you know, same routine. They're the same way once, they're going to be the way again.
With the wrestling guys, do any of them still stay in character anymore when they're outside the ring, or is that all done with now?
I mean, some of them do now because it's, you know, there's more people that are into the autographs now, and they get, you know, it's more people that just cause they just don't want to do it anymore. They don't want to be bothered. So some of them, I mean, not in that sense, but they're just like kind of like no, you know, stuff like they just say no. And some of them can be,
That was really a thing where wrestlers would stay in character.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, even if they're getting off an airplane, really?
Kayfabe, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've never heard that before.
That's,
I guess,
wrestling jargon.
Well, I don't even know what you said. So,
kayfabe.
What does that mean?
That's like where I'm sure Kevin could explain it better than I could, but basically where they would keep up their character basically wherever they went and pretend that this was all real.
Duh. Okay. I guess I should have understood that. Sorry. I'm not a wrestling dork, I guess. I've enjoyed wrestling over the years, but I stopped watching a while ago, so my bad. That's great, though. They should stay in character, though, shouldn't they? I mean, that's trying to...
Well, I guess it's better if you're like a heel in wrestling, and then so if somebody comes up to you, you can just be a jerk to them and just, hey, I'm in character.
Right. Yeah.
So have you ever had anyone like get physical with you, Kevin?
Physical, no, but I've had some words, you know what I mean?
Want to name names?
Wrestlers, you probably wouldn't know. I mean, I'm not going to name names, no. No.
Not with wrestlers, no. Hulk Hogan? No. Have you ever met him? Right,
a long time ago, yeah. Never met him like that or got his autograph, but I've, you know, met him, seen him.
That's cool. Yeah, I've seen him wrestle before. I think, wasn't he in Syracuse a long time ago?
Long time ago, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, everybody's been in Syracuse, yeah.
Yeah, I've been to a couple of shows a long, long time ago, and I was a little kid. I remember we got to go, my dad worked for Pepsi, and he had, like, backstage tickets, so we went to, like, their green room or something, and I got to meet Mean Gene Okerlund. That was,
nice.
Like,
good guy. That he was fast, too, recently.
That's right, yeah, I remember you posting about that, actually. But, yeah, I met him, and what was the other guy with the cowboy hat on?
Jim Ross?
Oh.
Cowboy Bob Orton.
Are you talking about a wrestler? Yeah, Cowboy Bob Orton.
No, was he a wrestler? Oh, Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart.
Oh, Jimmy Hart, yeah.
Was he like a manager? I think at the time he was a manager. Yeah. He wasn't a wrestler, right? But I met him too, and he was like not in character. I remember that because he was just talking normal. I'm like, this guy's crazy on TV, and he's just acting all normal. Anyway, that's my wrestling story. That's cool that you get to meet all these people. The list of people you've met and taking pictures with is amazing. You don't want to go into the whole Miguel Andujar thing?
I will with you. Come to a game this year and I'll share it with you guys.
Yeah, that doesn't do anything for the podcast. That's okay.
It's not just me. Just doesn't like signing autographs. I had some words with him before because of it. You know what I mean? And yeah, that's that.
It was something with Clint Frazier too, but he actually signs a lot, doesn't he?
Oh, Frazier left us tickets in Scranton last year. Frazier's the man.
How about that? See, now looking from the outside in, you would think just looking at him and like his persona, you'd think he was the opposite of that. You know, like don't talk to me alone. And it's funny to hear that he's actually very giving. And he gave you guys tickets for a game.
Yeah. I mean, there was eight of us. No lie, eight of us went to a game in Scranton. And he left us eight tickets.
That's incredible. That's great. Right. And, you know,
it's like they make him out to be the bad guy because of the incidents he had. And right from the beginning when he, you know, jokingly asked for Mantle's number and all that stuff, he is a great guy. And I really, really hope they keep him. You know, I mean, it's just but it's whatever.
I don't think he's going anywhere. They would have traded him by now.
He's not going to be happy if they got to send him back to Scranton this year, which is probably the case because they seem to like Talkman and, you know, even though Hicks is out till July. But
all right. He's an injury away from being the fourth outfielder, pretty much, or fifth outfielder, I guess. Yeah, he is the fifth outfielder.
Going back and forth to Scranton, right, gets now. Old, though. I mean, he gets frustrated with that.
I imagine
anyone. It's the only thing that bothers him, you know?
And he's very public about, like, on his Instagram and stuff, about his expressing his displeasure. I think that kind of rubs people the wrong way. That's cool to hear that he's not like that in real life. And like, how many guys leave tickets like that for people? Do you know? Has that happened to you any other time?
Yeah, guys leave tickets with me a lot. You know, I mean, you got to get close with them. You know, like a couple of my friends got close with Frazier. You know, I've gotten close with guys. Like, we went to later in the year last year. Are you guys both here? Still there or what?
Yeah, we're here. Yep.
Okay. And we went to see the Gwinnett team. And there's a guy on the team that's a radio announcer. He used to be a wrestling announcer. He left us tickets again, six tickets, you know, because he knows some of us from coming here. And he's going back to wrestling now. So, and now there's wrestling coming in a couple months. So maybe we'll get him to Rochester next month. Maybe we'll get him to leave us tickets there. But it's, you know, every time we go on a road trip, we try to get somebody a player that we know that either played here or something that'll leave us tickets. And they usually do, you know.
That's amazing. How do you do that? Do you have their phone number? I mean,
like, you know, Eric Kratz, you know what I mean? You know Eric Kratz, right?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he'll be with Scranton again this year. That's my connection when I go there, probably. You know, as long as he doesn't have his wife or. I'd be like, that coming to a game, he'll leave tickets. He left me tickets before, you know.
Wow.
Get close to that. Obviously, he played here years ago, and those guys, they're all real cool like that, you know?
Well, how do you ask him? Do you just ask him on Twitter or something like that?
Oh, no. When they come in, because I get there real early.
You meet them there. Oh, okay.
You get there real early, and when they come in, you say, hey, do you got anybody on your guest list today? And they'll say, no, why? Do you need tickets? And boom. That's how you do it. Works out, you know?
That's pretty cool. I'm going to try that. Go early. Ask for ticket. I guess they have to know you though. That's the key to that. So, do you get recognized like at every game you're at? Do people, the players, be like, "Oh, hey, Kev, what's going on?"
A lot of them, yeah. I mean, back when like Carmelo Anthony knows me by first name and everything. You know, he's every time he comes, "Hey, Kev, how you doing, man?" You know, it's pretty cool.
Did you see him when he just came? What was it, last year or this year? Did he come this year?
He came to the Virginia game, and I did not go there. And I'm upset because I heard he was so nice. He's always nice to me anyways, but I guess he was really cool.
That's pretty cool. I know. So you hung out at the Dome as well, and you get all the SU players and stuff like that too. Like, you're everywhere. I had these pictures. Can people just go on your Facebook page and see all this stuff, or do they have to be friends with you? I guess they have to be friends with you to see.
It's pretty cool. Friends, yeah.
So, look up Kevin O and tell him I sent you, and you can look at his pictures. But he's met lots of folks and collecting all these years since, 1943, you said?
Here we go. Yeah.
1980.
I was wondering, he said he goes on lots of road trips. Where do you normally go on road trips?
I don't go far. I stay within, I go to Buffalo, Rochester. I go to Scranton. That's really the farthest. Like, I don't even go to like New York City or anything like that. But within the state or Pennsylvania, Scranton is where I go. That's it.
Scranton's what? Like, is that like a 3-hour drive from Syracuse?
Doing some change, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's shot right off. I mean, the stadium's literally right off the highway.
Yeah, I've driven by it before, actually. I've seen it. So, yeah, that's a beautiful ballpark, too.
Wow, some Yankee fan you are.
I've never gone to a game there. I have three kids, man. I can't just drive 3 hours to a game.
Take them with you.
You're right. I know.
I'm kidding, man.
No, you're not. Maybe this year we'll do that. I would love to go to Scranton.
Let's go down there when Syracuse is playing.
That's okay. Let's go. Let's go. It's a big shot. The Syracuse opens their home openers against Scranton this year.
Yep.
So. All right, yep. I'm planning on going to that.
Yep. Davey Garcia and Steven Gonzalez will be the pitchers. Watch.
Davey Garcia, yeah. Do you think he goes up with the Yankees this year? Do you think he gets a shot at some point?
He will, but he's still young, and I honestly think he's going to be a reliever. I don't see him as a starter. You know, he's only 5'9". He's small. He's
like Pedro Martinez. Like Pedro Martinez. He throws hard, too. I think Mike King is going to be
the
radar player that could sneak in at least into the bullpen this year, make the team, and he could be a fifth starter at some point too. An injury or two away from that, but he's got a lot of potential, that kid.
Yeah, he does. I think the one that's going to end up taking Del Matanza's place is Loaiza. He's got really good stuff, and I like him a lot. I don't see him as a starter, but I think he could do the job in the bullpen.
He's got nasty stuff.
Yeah,
he's like really half the size of Del Matanza, but. Boy, he's got stuff.
When he came out of the bullpen last year, he did real well late in the season.
Right. That's I think that you might be right on that. I don't think he's a starter. I think he's a reliever. So what are your predictions for the baseball season? Who do you think is gonna win it?
Well, I hope the Yankees win it. You know, and I think they got a good shot. But it's a lot of good teams. You know, I mean, Atlanta's good. They got a good young team. You know, Washington, they still got a young team. And what a slap in the face to Bryce Harper, though, huh?
Oh, gosh. Well, I can't say he didn't deserve that somehow, but.
And my hat goes off to them because, affiliated with us, the Nationals deserved every bit of that. One team didn't mind winning, at all. Man,
talking to a Mets fan there that's being quiet right now. I don't think he agrees with that. He just dropped his head.
I don't mind the Mets. Alonso was a great. They got some good guys on their team. Pete Alonso, Conforto's my favorite Met. They're all real nice guys too. Real nice guys.
Well, here's my sleeper pick for the year, and I know we're gonna do an episode on predictions and stuff like that, but I think the Mets are a playoff team this year. They could win the division.
It's all on that pitching. That pitching stays healthy. They're nasty. They're really good. And Porcello and Waka, they stole those guys. They could be really good.
They got them for like nothing, right?
Boston. Right. Yep.
DeGrom could win his third straight Cy Young.
One of them could win it too, though.
Noah Syndergaard could end up on the Yankees this year. No, just kidding.
I don't even want him.
I don't know. He's right where he belongs on the Mets.
Right.
He can keep his hair and stuff and right. do his thing.
Yeah.
All right. So, Mike, do you have any other questions for Kevin about the whole collecting thing?
No, not really.
No? Okay. Baseball cards? You collect baseball cards?
I do. I don't buy them like I used to. My thing now is photos, you know what I mean? Because cards are so expensive compared. Remember when we were kids, it was like, you know, $1 a pack at most. Now you're paying like, you know, $5 a pack, $6, and you're getting like 6 to 8 cards. It's like,
it's like cigarettes.
Right. Yeah.
Not really. I mean,
and a bunch of bombs that you can't even use, you know what I mean?
It's crazy how expensive they've gotten, though. And just like a box with, what, 7 packs cost $20.
Right.
Yeah, I remember, right, like you said, they were $1 a pack, and you'd load up and collect the whole set, you know, from just by opening packs. Anyway, times have changed, and baseball cards aren't really worth what they used to be. All right, back on Apples and Pinstripes, episode 8. I'm Todd Emanuele. That's Mike Borkowski. Again, thanks to Kevin O for stopping by with us today, the first ever guest on Apples and Pinstripes. He's an interesting guy because he really spends a lot of time. He works early hours like I do, so he gets out of work early enough that he can go basically straight to the ballpark after work and hang out and wait for the guys to show up or to whatever sporting event. And so he meets all these guys and hangs out with them and, you know, gets their autographs and stuff. But it sounds like he gets to know them and gets to be friendly with them. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, that was fun. It was a great guest.
Yeah, so
when you go to games, do you try and get autographs like with your kids and stuff like that? Or
I've done it a couple times when I was younger. I used to. I remember I was never good at it, though, because I wasn't patient enough to wait. I just wanted to sit down or get food or whatever. But I remember Hensley Mullin signed a baseball card for me. Bam Bam.
Mets bench coach.
Is he the bench coach? He should have. Well, yeah. I'm surprised they didn't offer him the manager position. But he'll end up being a manager one of these years somewhere, definitely. But anyway, that's. I do have a couple of quick stories. I brought my kids once down to the field, and we got Chad Tracy, who was down rehabbing with the Chiefs a couple of years ago. I don't even know if you remember who Chad Tracy is. He was an infield. Yeah, well, he signed for us and a couple other guys. But we sat that same game. We went down and sat next to the Chiefs were playing the Buffalo Bisons, and Jabba Chamberlain, who pitched for the Yankees, was in their bullpen. It was the Blue Jays AAA team at the time. And Jabba was sitting with us and talking to the fans during the entire game. And the usher, people kept asking him for autographs, and he was signing during the game. And the usher came over and said, "Stop asking him for autographs. He's not allowed to sign during the game." Meanwhile, he's sitting there signing for everyone. Jabba turns around and looks
I'm sure he knows that too, right?
Well, right. But he turns around, he looks at the security guard, and he says, "I'm going to keep signing for anyone who wants anything." And the guy's like, okay, and he walked away from him. He was taking pictures with people during the game, shaking hands, fist bumps. He fist bumped my son and me, and he signed our program for us. And it was hilarious to sit there and listen to him. He was joking around with the other guys. I didn't even know what was going on in the game because we were just watching Jabba. But then by the 8th inning, he got called to get up and get into the game, and he just stopped and he focused and he was, you know, ready to go. He was in baseball mode. But for 7 innings, he was just interacting with the fans and stuff. It was really a lot of fun. That was a fun memory of something like that we got an autograph out of, too. I still have it. But, you know, he was pretty much washed up at that point and done being a major league pitcher. But it was a lot of fun. So that's my story. I was going to let you start, and I just started talking. Sorry. What's your story, Mike?
I'm not a huge, autograph person. Like I've never really gone. Whenever I go to games, I don't like try to get autographs or anything because it just looks like it's very nerve wracking. There's such a just tons of people just going nuts and like that gives me anxiety. But I do have like, especially with doing artwork and stuff, like I've gotten to get some pretty cool like autographs from people that I've done drawings of and things like that, and that stuff means something to me.
Right.
My favorite story of that is I illustrated a book a few years ago for Syracuse University called Otto's ABCs, and it was a book about not just Syracuse sports but the whole university. So like A is for admissions and B is for bookstore and things like that. And a few years ago, they every year they do Orange Fan Fest for the football team in August before the football season starts.
Right.
And we were doing, I was working with the SU bookstore selling the book at Fan Fest. And so in the book, if anyone doesn't know, Syracuse football, the famous number is 44. Like that's, right. It's everywhere. 44 is everywhere. It's like the Superman logo here. Because the greatest players in Syracuse football history wore that number, Jim Brown, Ernie Davis, and Floyd Little, you know, those are the big three, but you know, others have worn it too, but those are the big three.
Michael Owens, Rob Conrad.
Sure.
There you go.
Excuse me. So in the book we have F is for 44.
Right.
And on that page, I drew Jim Brown, Floyd Little, and then for basketball, I threw in Derek Coleman. And if you're wondering where Ernie Davis is, E was for Ernie. Ernie Davis. So he had his own page, which it's pretty cool because the way it worked out is the pages E and F face each other. So it's almost like a big spread of just all of those, you know, legends.
Yeah.
So anyways, we're sitting there selling the book and I look over. We're on a football field outside in August. It's hot out. And we're underneath like one of those party tents, you know.
Yep.
But I look out and I see Floyd Little is just standing like in the middle of the football field and no one's near him. And because at the time he worked for Syracuse Athletics. And so I approached him. I brought my, I think, 8-year-old daughter with me at the time so I wouldn't look like some crazy.
Yeah, see, because that's not like you to just approach someone.
No,
like
it really
is. Not like you at all.
I don't approach anybody. I'm very shy, honestly.
No.
So I go up to him and I say, Mr. Little, I have no idea what exactly I said, but I was like, Mr. Little, I showed him, I brought the book over and I showed it to him. I said, I did this drawing of you in this book and, you know, I'd be honored if you would sign this page for me. And he put his arm around my shoulders and he said, and I told him my name. So he said, Mike, I would love to sign that for you, but if I sign this for you, I'm going to be mobbed. Mm. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, I totally understand. Not a problem at all. He took a picture with me and my daughter holding the book. And I walked away and thanked him and shook his hand. And
okay.
So he comes up to the table and he says, open the book. Floyd Little says this. I open up the book. And he says, give me a pen. And I give him a pen. He signs a page and he walks away. And I was like, that is like, that's like movie stuff right there.
Yeah, that's,
I was like,
cool.
Like, thank you, sir. Thank you. So that's
thank
one
you
of my
for signing my book as he gets mobbed with people.
So that's one of my prized autographs that I have. And see, mostly
that,
it's because
that's a cool story. That's a cool story.
But it's because of the story. It's because of how nice he was, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'll never forget that.
Well, he could have just totally forgotten all about it and not worried about it, but he thought about it, saw you there, and came over and did it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. It's better than buying a Floyd Little autograph on eBay or something like that.
Right. Yeah.
Just saying that you have one that you don't even know is real. Well, my cool story isn't anywhere near as cool as that, but I've always liked Paul O'Neill. I know you don't really necessarily like Paul O'Neill as a Mets fan. I don't know.
year.
I thought you said you didn't like.
No, I never said that.
Oh, no. I must be thinking of someone else.
I mean, he. It's funny to watch him when he would get all mad.
Oh yeah,
kick the ball across the field.
I think he was misunderstood by a lot of people. He was so intense and he wanted to be perfect all the time. He just played so hard. I always admired him for playing so hard and the way he played the game. And it turns out he's like a super nice guy, like so down to earth, not that intense guy that played the game. He's a big family guy and just a great guy. Anyway, I had a baseball card of his and I thought, I'm going to send this to Yankee Stadium with a note and see if he'll sign it for me and send it back. I'm like, there's no chance this is ever going to happen. He's going to get it. If he even gets it, it's just going to get thrown in a trash can. And that's the end of the story. So I wrote a letter saying how much I always, you know, admired the way he played the game. And, you know, my son's just, this is back when Brennan just started playing baseball. And, you know, I'd like him to get that work ethic and want to be perfect and, you know, practicing and just playing hard the way he played. And, you know, we'd really appreciate it if you signed this card for us. And I made sure to put, you know, add the kid into the autograph part so I didn't sound like someone just begging for an autograph. But I didn't think anything of it. I mailed it off to Yankee Stadium, attention Paul O'Neill. Yeah, right. He's going to get that. So months go by. I didn't even remember I sent it. And all of a sudden, there's I put an envelope in there with a stamp with, you know, my address on it. So he didn't have to pay to send it back or anything. Like, the Yankees couldn't afford that. But I figured it would get tossed out. But anyway, I get an envelope and it's my handwriting. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the envelope I sent to Yankee Stadium. So I'm thinking, oh, now there's just going to be like a sticker in there. Thanks for your letter. You know, we couldn't get this to Paul because he wasn't here or whatever. I open it up. No note, no anything, but in plastic, a little plastic case, was the card I sent, and it was signed by Paul O'Neill. And I know it's his autograph because I've seen his autograph, but I always thought...
Why would the Yankees send you a fake one?
Well, you don't know. You never know. They could have someone in the clubhouse that can sign. They used to do that. Mickey Mantle, a lot of Mickey Mantle autographs were signed by clubhouse guys.
Really?
You've never heard that before? No, hey, he's like the most forged signature out there because he had people that would sign for him, but he also, I mean, his signature has just been forged for years and years. But anyway, I got the card and I was like ecstatic that, however small of a gesture, he signed the card, put it in the envelope and handed it to someone and said, hey, can you mail this? But the fact that he took that 3 seconds to do that and actually sign the card and send it back to me, that was really cool. And I'm like, I've always been a fan of his. Now he's got me for life as a fan, and I love when he broadcasts the games on YES, and him and Cohn together are great, and that was just a cool story. So I have that card in a frame I have of signed baseball cards, and I'm going to send it to you, actually. We should put it up on Instagram or something like that, and you could post some pictures of your stuff too or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I'd like to see that Floyd Little autograph.
Yeah,
we could post that.
I could do too. That.
But I love that card. And, you know, that I just think he spent 2 seconds signing it and sticking it in an envelope. But I hope he realizes like the impact that has on people. Like, that little tiny gesture can make someone, you know, a fan for life. And mm-hmm. I just, so many people you'd think would just see that or not even get it and throw it in the trash and, you know, not care. But I thought that was cool. So that was another story.
I did that when I was a kid. I sent stuff. I don't know why. I don't know why I did this, but I sent stuff to the Kansas City Royals when I was a kid. Hey. And I got a card back signed by Kevin Seitzer.
The Kansas City Royals?
Yeah, I don't know why. I think I liked Kevin Seitzer or something when I was a kid. Like, they sent me a... No, he was a Royal.
I thought he played on the Mets at some point. Who am I thinking of?
Kevin Elster, sure. I did send something to the Mets, and I can't remember the deal because I was like 10 years old, yeah. And that was a long time ago. But I sent something to the Mets, and they sent me back like a postcard set that had like each postcard was like a picture of a player, and you could tell they took it in spring training because they had like the blue jerseys on, like before the Mets wore blue jerseys in regular season. Right. So you had like Dwight Gooden, Daryl Strawberry, Gary Carter, cool. Keith Hernandez, like all those like 80s Mets, like I still have that somewhere too. They weren't signed.
Yeah.
They were just postcards.
Yeah. It's still nice of them to do that. I did something similar now that I'm thinking. I went to one of the, I mean, this will be on an episode, future episode too. We'll go more in detail on it. But the best game I've ever been to was the Jim Abbott no-hitter at Yankee Stadium. And I had my ticket stub. And I don't know what I was thinking. I sent it the same way to Yankee Stadium. And I wrote a letter to Jim Abbott asking him to sign it. And he never got it because it wasn't signed when it came back. They actually sent the ticket stub back to me, which I was surprised with. But they sent like a bunch of Yankee stickers and schedule and all this stuff. I'm like, oh, gee, thanks.
But at least more games, kid.
Yeah, but at least they didn't throw it away. And that was that was going into my senior year of high school that I did that. But I was impressed they sent me the ticket stub back. I thought I'd never see it again. So I still have that somewhere too, but that was just a PR guy that went, oh, yeah, so I'll stuff some stickers in here and send it back. That'll make him happy. Well, anyway, so do you have any other collectibles or any other stories that you're proud of?
I have a lot of, like, most of the signed stuff I have is, like, artwork that I've done, and I've either met that person and had them sign it, or, you know, I did a drawing. ESPN hired me, probably about 6 years ago or longer. I don't even know, but they hired me to draw Dick Vitale and Dan Schulman and Aaron Andrews, and they showed it on the air, and Dick Vitale went nuts about it on the air. And he was like,
Dick Vitale went nuts?
Yeah. He's like, I want a copy of that. I want a copy of that. And I'm like,
baby,
I'm going to get him a copy of that.
Nice.
So I think I contacted him on Twitter. Yeah. And then I think his wife contacted me. So I sent him, I said, I would love to send you a photo, but can I send two of them? And then you sign one and send it back to me. And he did. He signed it. He wrote, Mike, you are awesome, baby. And then he signed his name on my drawing. So I got it on my wall here.
That's
and he sent that back with a couple of his books. Like he had a children's book and this information. Like, yeah, he sent me a ton of stuff. So you'll never hear me say a bad word about Dick Vitale.
Yeah, no, and I think
he did not have to do that.
No, I think he's another one of those guys that is misunderstood and people think he's a Duke lover and all that stuff. But I think he's just a down to earth guy too. He seems
loves everyone.
He does. He does seem that way. He loves baseball too. He's a big Rays fan. Lives down in Tampa.
He lives down there.
Yeah, so he's a big Rays fan and always thinks they're going to win the World Series. They're going to be good this year, but I don't think they're going to get past the Yankees. So we'll see though. Injury or two, they sign a couple guys, you never know. But all right. So that's pretty neat that he did that. Do you have who else? Didn't someone else just sign something that you did? What did you, was it the Dwight Freeney?
Right. Yeah, that was pretty cool. I got hired by the Colts to do Dwight Freeney was going to go in the Ring of Honor for the Colts, and they wanted artwork done for social media. So I did a drawing of Dwight Freeney, and I thought it was just for social media, but apparently they printed up some posters too. Yeah. And a week or so later, I get a tube in the mail, and there's the poster, and it's signed by Dwight Freeney that the Colts sent to me. Stuff like that is that doesn't happen very often when I do stuff, and when it does, man, I'm so appreciative of stuff like that.
Yeah,
so I got that framed and on my wall.
I think you had that framed and on your wall the same day.
I think I did. I think I ran right out and got a frame and popped it on my wall. I couldn't wait to get that one up.
Dwight Freeney, obviously, if you're a Syracuse fan, which you may not even know where Syracuse is if you're listening to this, but he was a former Syracuse player that probably be in the NFL Hall of Fame someday.
Yeah, definitely.
Great player.
And, you know, he went into the Colts Ring of Honor. And
yeah.
Yeah, one of the greats. I will never forget. I do forget who they were playing. But I went to a game when he played for Syracuse, and I have never seen anyone on the defensive end dominate a game like he dominated this game. Oh, it was unbelievable.
He's a great player. Was a great player indeed. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't have any cool stories like that. The autographs. I've come into autograph baseballs that either friends have given me or that I purchased, or I'm trying to think of a cool story. I do have a ball signed by, it's signed by like 8 or 9 baseball Hall of Famers. A friend of mine, we were like, it had to be back in the mid 80s. Him and his dad were going to the Hall of Fame during induction weekend. And he goes, "Do you have a ball? I'll try to get you some autographs." I'm like, "Really?" Never thinking he would do anything with it or, you know, see anyone or get anything signed. And he came back, and I have this ball. It's signed by Ernie Banks, Charlie Gehringer, Lou Boudreau. Trying to think of the other ones that are on there off the top of my head. There's like 7 or 8 Hall of Famers that are signed on the ball. And I've always cherished that because, Ralph Kiner is on there. Ernie Banks is the prominent one and the biggest name, I think, of. They're all Hall of Famers, though, so they're all great. But I'll never forget that he brought that back, and I'm like, my jaw hit the floor. I was like 10 years old, probably. And I immediately put it in a plastic case, and I still have it on my shelf with all my other signed baseballs. But I have a Jim Abbott signed ball that he inscribed with his no-hitter on there. I was at that game, so that means something to me. I don't know. I didn't actually meet him, though. I just got that ball. I wish I had cooler stories for that stuff, but
you have some sort of connection to it, you know?
Oh, to that one, definitely. Yeah, because, I mean, I was there. That was the biggest moment of his baseball career, and it was only the, what was it, like the 16th no-hitter in Yankees history or something like that, or I can't remember, but it's the only no-hitter by a pitcher. Huh?
It was only the 16th one.
Only. Sorry. I forgot. Yeah, you and Johan Santana. I know. Sorry.
Which if there was replay at the time, that it would not have been a
no-hitter. Oh, don't even go there then. I didn't even think of that. That's bad. But
that pesky Carlos Beltran had something to do with that, too.
Oh, cheater.
He was the one who hit the ball that was fair that they called foul.
Oh, man. I forgot about that. Yeah, replay would take away a lot of baseball history.
Yeah.
Derek Jeter's home run with Jeffrey Mayer.
Yeah.
And come close to staying. Who knows how that, because that was, what, 1996? That could have changed the course of baseball history.
Absolutely, yeah.
If they don't end up winning that game because of that home run, because that was in extra innings, or at least the ninth inning or whatever to tie it up. That could have changed the way the Orioles could have been the team that ended up winning all those World Series. You never know. It's just funny how things work.
The 2000 World Series, that ball that Todd Zeal hit that I still think was a home run.
It wasn't, though. How was it a home run?
It hit the top of the wall and went over.
It didn't go over.
Yeah, it did. It hit the back wall.
No, it didn't. There is no back wall there.
Yeah, there is. In my memories, there is.
You're talking at Yankee Stadium.
Yes.
That was not a home run. There's nothing there.
The one that Todd Zeal hit, and Timo Perez got thrown out because he was jogging because he thought it was a homer.
It wasn't a homer, though. It hit right off the top of the wall. There's no wall.
And went over and came back.
No wall behind there.
I'm going to watch the replay again. I'll send it to
you. We're arguing about something that happened. Oh, man. But Jim Abbott, going back to that, I never finished my thought. It was like the 16th no-hitter in Yankee history, the first one since Dave Rigetti threw one in 1984, but it's the only no-hitter in baseball history by a pitcher with one hand. So there you go. Pretty amazing. That's a whole episode that we'll talk about the best games and stuff we've ever been to, but that's the top of my list right there. Spoiler alert for that future.
I don't think I have a best game I've ever been to, because every game I go to turns out to be a disaster for my team.
Baseball wise,
basketball. Okay, basketball. It's easy.
Yeah, as you and I have the same best basketball game ever that we were at together, and my son says
to me all the time. Every game he goes to, his team loses, and he's right. Like, it's really sad. Like, every time we go to a game, the team he's rooting for loses.
That is sad. I've been to, I think, 10 Yankee games in my lifetime, and they've only lost once when I've gone. Yankees. Wow. That's the whole Mets-tality, Yankee vibe thing. They always win when I'm there, except for that one time.
I've been to, I think, three or four games at Citi Field,
yeah,
and they've gotten blown out each time. Like, that, not even close. Like,
I remember you
totally
said the
blown
game,
out.
The game we went to, the Mets score. It was the first game that you were at Citi Field where the Mets actually scored a run. And it came on like a fielder's choice or a sac fly or something like that.
Well, then I went to a game later that year, and the Mets hit three home runs in the first inning.
Oh,
and
great.
Me and my son are going in. He looked at me. I'll never forget the look on his face when they hit that third home run. He like, oh, my God, it was amazing. And the Mets got blown out that day by the Dodgers.
After that first inning.
After that first inning, it was all over.
That's why he hates Bellinger.
Bellinger did hit a home run that day.
Mets had an early lead, three home runs in the first inning, and then Bellinger struck, and Troy was forever changed. He became a Mets poor fan kid. That day. Poor kid. Oh, hey, man.
Gives you character.
Maybe someday he'll play for the Mets. Wouldn't that be something?
He's played for the Yankees the last 3 years in Little League.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's hilarious because you have to wear a Yankee hat.
Yeah, because I'm one of the coaches, so I had to wear a Yankee hat.
No one ever got a picture of that. No one has pictures of this.
No, I've never pictures.
I've never seen one, though, and I guess I know why.
Hey, I put the hat on. I didn't complain about it.
Be plastered everywhere. Look at this picture, guys.
I have burn marks on my head, but...
Oh, I forgot to ask Kevin what hat he was wearing. He had a hat on.
He was wearing a Rail Riders hat.
Or was it?
I was going to ask.
Yeah. I
he
saw
had a Rail Riders hat, Rail Riders shirt.
Well, he goes down. I know he's gone to Scranton several times. He likes those road trips. That sounds like fun. I would love to do that. I would love to be able to go to baseball games whenever I wanted to. And
I went to Rochester last year when Syracuse played there. That's a nice stadium.
It's a nice stadium, too.
It's the first time I've been there.
Been to a game there, but I've seen it, and the one in Buffalo I'd like to go check out too. I've driven by it a million times.
I want to try and go there this year.
All right, well, we'll make a plan of it, and maybe we'll take the show on the road and do a broadcast from the seats or something like that.
Yeah.
Get some autographs or something. I don't know. All right, why don't we take a break? We'll come back and wrap it up after this. You're listening to Apples and Pinstripes. All right, back on Apples and Pinstripes. We are here. It is episode 8. We're wrapping it up for today. My name's Todd, that's Mike, and we actually got some fan mail, didn't we?
We did.
Little direct message.
It involves our whole fantasy discussion that we've been having the last couple weeks, where we tell people to tell me to sign up for fantasy sports.
This didn't go the way I was hoping it would.
So I got a direct message from Matthew Navin. He said... you know, it's okay to read this on our show. So he wrote, I'm really enjoying the podcast. You guys are sounding better and better each episode. Nice. Regarding the fantasy baseball, if you're not into it, it won't be fun for you or the other participants. Don't do it just to fill up a spot.
Wow.
So thank you, Matthew.
Matthew, man, come on. He must be a fan of yours. He's not helping me.
Or he's played fantasy sports and there's been people involved and he enjoys it and other people are involved who are not into it and it probably ruins the fun for him.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of annoying when people don't pay attention to their teams and just let them sit there and don't look at it. So, whatever. Thank you, Matthew. That's great. We appreciate that.
Yeah. And
did you send him a sticker?
I'm going to send him a sticker this weekend. So
send that man a sticker.
Be on the lookout. And thank you for listening. Thank you for the kind words. And
yeah. And we're going to keep trying to get better and better still each week. We've got a lot of plans and hopefully it's going to all come to fruition. We want to make this a fun show for everyone, not just us. So keep tuning in and listening, and we've got some fun stuff coming your way. We'll have another guest, I think, as long as it works out, we're going to have another guest next week. So looking forward to that. So that'll do it for episode 8. You know, check us out on social media, Apples and Pinstripes, if you just search for that. Follow us, comment, you know, like Matthew did, give us some feedback. And I'm still keeping that window open to get Mike to do fantasy baseball if someone else wants to send something in.
Didn't you listen to what Matthew said? He had a great point.
Yeah, no, I don't agree with it, though.
I'd ruin it for everyone. For why should do that?
No, you wouldn't.
I don't want to ruin so things better. For people.
You'd make it so much better.
You still haven't filled that spot?
No, I'm saving it for you. I'm not even trying to yet. Our draft isn't until March 21st, so it's okay. Boy. We got some time. We got some time to wear you down. Come on, people. Not name Matthew. And we're still awaiting. I am still awaiting people asking you to draw Aaron Judge too. So.
Oh yeah.
Oh
You cheated last week though. You put it out there on Twitter. You weren't supposed to do that. It's supposed to just be people who listened.
That was never in the rules.
Well, I'm putting it in the rules.
So please, people, send those messages in. Get Mike to do fantasy baseball. Get Mike to draw Aaron Judge. Make all of our Yankee dreams come true. Or whatever. All right. Before I do another false ending, because we always do this. We always have like four false endings at the end of each show.
You say goodbye and then we talk for 20 minutes.
But then we're going to talk more. You can find me on social media too, at Todd Emanuelli, or just search for my name, Emanuelli. And Mike, how can folks get in touch with you?
Go to my website, michaelborkowski.com, Borkowski. All the links to all of my social media and stuff like that is right on the top there. You see the little logos, just click on them and it'll send you to my social media. I'm just on like Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, I guess.
MySpace.
Yeah, MySpace.
He's on everything. Posting those drawings. Go check it out. And if you're finding our podcast through a link or something, just go to any of your favorite podcast apps. If you want to actually subscribe, that would help us out. Leave a nice word or two about us and just subscribe and listen every week. We really appreciate it and really hope you're enjoying the show. And we'll be back next week. And I want to end with this. Hashtag strip the Strohs. Get the Astros. You got to get that World Series out of there from 2017. Gary Sanchez with the line of the year saying about Jose Altuve not wanting his jersey ripped off. If I hit a home run that would send us to the World Series, they could rip off my pants. Bam! Line of the century right there. That preseason, that could be the line of the year that anyone said. I need audio of that. And it'll probably be in Spanish, but still, through his interpreter, that had to be great. I need the audio on that. So they could strip off my pants and everything else is what I think he said. So look for those t-shirts coming soon somewhere of Gary Sanchez running the bases naked or whatever. Anyway, good stuff. Well, we'll talk to you next week, Mike. Until then, bye.
Bye.
Todd likes the Yankees and Mike likes the Mets. Todd's life has been championships and Mike's has been regrets. Apples and pinstripes from spring training.